Ladies and gentlemen.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Here it is, the second hour of the program. One in the books, two to go on the Press Box. Nick and myself till 4, Blitz till 7. That's your afternoon lineup on a Monday here in Houston. Rainy, dreary, expect one more day of it until we start clearing up. And then it's going to get hot. It's going to get to the 90s and be typical Houston weather. So if you like that cool weather we had over the last couple months, it's in the rear view.
I'm not mad at all this rain, man. I know it's not safe to drive in.
Why?
Probably need to replace some tires because that was pretty evident on the highway today for me. But really, it's been so nice. It's been cool.
It's over.
It's been nice.
Well, it's over now. Once you get through, and by the way, my yard now is overly saturated with rain. I don't need any more.
I agreed. Not that I really pay attention to it. But.
Well, I turned my sprinklers off, too, because I don't need, like, oversaturation. But, yeah, out our way, we've gotten more than our share of rain. I don't need any more. I was trying to find out, I was telling you during the break, Dillon Brooks was traded to the Grizzlies for the Grizzlies' 2018 second-round pick, in which they had three, and I'm trying to see which of their three they gave Houston and who it was for. The really interesting thing is, the 30th pick, in this, which is one of the early second-round picks, was DeAndre Melton from USC, who they loved, but they moved, who ended up in Memphis and is on the Grizzlies now, too. So you've got two guys with Rockets ties that are playing in the rotation for the Memphis Grizzlies. And Craig Ackerman Sr.
It's a future second-round pick.
Yeah, but I couldn't find out which guy was drafted to see if he was a bust or if he actually turned out.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying now. I get it. My bad.
But I like, with the mic'd-up coaches, too, I like Memphis's coach. I like the way he talks to the guys and gets them motivated. I like the fact that the guys seem focused with him. He's the perfect mix for a young team. And Memphis is building something where they're going to be pretty good now.
Yeah, a lot of these teams can build something nice that you know what? That's a good player. You know what I mean? That guy can develop into something good. That guy could develop into something. The problem is all these markets that we talk about, it's such a struggle to keep these stars there after 4, 5, 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, and you got to wonder, and I'll bring up your team, not to be an a-hole, but if Miami finds a way to win this series, I mean, you got to look at yourself if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and say, you know what? What are we going to do next?
They're going to fire their coach is what they're going to do next.
Because they need a scapegoat. But is that the right move?
Yeah. You know why, Nick? Because it's not just a scapegoat. It's the fact that you have to make changes. You realize, what's the one thing we know for sure, aside from all the strengths of Giannis Antetokounmpo? He can't shoot free throws.
At all.
He's not a really good outside shooter. So you need to adjust the offense. Why do you think this wall that teams are now going to that Miami started, where they just clog the middle and say, you're not going to beat us by your length and getting to the basket. You're either going to have to shoot it or give it up. And it's working. It's because Mike Budenholzer didn't change the offense so that more guys touch it. Who made the big shot to beat the Heat? Chris Middleton. You know why? Because they went to they turned the page. They didn't rely on Giannis trying to back it down or force his way into the middle, and Middleton made a shot.
Yeah, and look, if it's because of his offense that gets him out of this first round and they get bounced by Miami Heat, I can see why it's a justified firing. My thing is it really going to make a difference? And the other thing, it might make a difference in the sense that they go back to the playoffs next year and they go past the first round. And this is all under the assumption that they're going to lose the first round, which it's very possible that they win. I'm just saying, what significant changes are you going to do, even if you do decide to fire the coach? That's going to really make this team a championship team. And I wonder what that could possibly be considering the market. Now, Giannis has seemed like he's a loyal guy and he ain't going anywhere and he wants to be in Milwaukee. I think he's been on record saying that as well. And he wants to stay. Mm-hmm. But frustration starts changing people's minds. I'm just telling you. You know, it happens all the time.
Well, we're talking about Donovan Mitchell. We're talking about all the superstars now, regardless of your contract, that because of what Deshaun started, we found out, it's pretty easy to do, and people are going to do it more frequently. So just because he's got the Supermax contract, just because he said he was happy in Milwaukee, if it doesn't work out, there's also a chance that that he could want out, because that has now been proven to be effective in terms of making teams almost give up. And you're in a position of strength, whereas before people were like, too bad. You're either playing here or you're going home because we're not doing anything. So Taylor Jenkins, I like him because of the fact that he's perfect for that team, but he also knows his personnel. To your point about John Moran, he's not Chris Paul yet, but he gets in the middle. His jumping ability is basically top shelf. He seems to make good decisions.
He's going to be more athletic than Chris Paul for sure.
And he's got a young nucleus. So he's young. He's 36 years old. He's on the same wavelength, but unlike J.B. Bickerstaff when he took control of a team for the first time and all of a sudden showed he was one of the guys, and then everybody thought they could just walk right over
him. That looked like a fun party, though. I ain't gonna
lie. Dwight's birthday party, yeah. But that's the one that set him on a bad road with the Rockets. Taylor Jenkins is the guy that says, hey, we may be close in age. I get where you're coming from, but I'm also in control here. I'm going to make decisions. And I like the way he motivates his team, and I think he's the right mix for that young squad. And not that they're going to beat the Jazz, but now with this Mitchell stuff, I believe Mitchell's going to play.
I believe that too.
But if they don't win this series, or if they lose another game, like if they lose this second game, I feel bad for my guy Dennis Lindsay in Utah, but this whole thing could be troublesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I guess Donovan Mitchell does have an excuse in the event that they do lose the series. Well, boy, you didn't put me in game two, and I didn't get my wind under me. It took me a game or two, and by the time I got my wind, we were really far behind. He has that excuse. I think that would be weak on his part, but I'll tell you what, wouldn't make me mad one bit as a Rockets fan to see that unfold. And look, we've been saying all year long, neither one of us are incredibly confident in this Utah Jazz team when it comes down to the postseason.
This is what
we're
they do in the playoffs. This is what they do all the time. That's why we said all along, hey, great regular season again, but I'm not putting any stock in them to win it in the playoffs. Now, teams that look like they have a chance to win in the playoffs, boy, I don't care how big of a dunk Kawhi Leonard had. The Mavericks proved on the Clippers' home court, and boy, playoff P was taking it in the shorts again.
I don't get it.
You know what, Nick? I look at that Clippers team. There's something missing. I look at it and say, if you've got those two guys and they're that good, and they blamed, and you're talking about scapegoats. Doc was the scapegoat last year. Who's the scapegoat now? Because they've said that they had this happy existence all year long. They've had more togetherness, more camaraderie. Well, you know what they don't have? They don't have anybody fearing them in the playoffs. And that's a problem with guys of that caliber on that roster.
And I don't agree with the trade. I don't agree with them trading Lou Williams to the Atlanta Hawks. I think I know you needed someone like Rondo, but I just don't agree with it. Lou Williams is a pure scorer. He had a lot of respect in that team. Beverly absolutely loved him. The team absolutely loved him. And even Lou Williams was on record saying he was really hurt about the whole situation.
Loves L.A., yeah.
Because he got traded away from the Clippers, you know, and that's not a cool situation.
And he played well for Atlanta yesterday.
I'm not saying the Clippers are going to break up in the event that they don't win the championship, but honestly, that's the mentality you should have. You should have, if you're in that Clippers front office, you should break that thing up, because playoff P is not playoff P, and Kawhi's not going to be able to do it by himself. We know who the better player is. You're going to have a second star and some depth. You had it there for a second. And Clippers, aren't they like a team that are absolutely notorious, Joel, for usually having depth but can never get over the hump? Like, they always have depth on that squad, even going back to the Chris Paul days. They just could never get over the hump. It's just it's been their MOs for a long time.
But it's almost because that Chris Paul team had so much depth already, though, in terms of their rotation. When you think about that team had J.J. Redick, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan in his heyday.
Yeah.
They had so many different weapons, and everybody thought for 2 or 3 year span they were one of the most talented, if not the most talented roster in the game. And then they found a way to – this is the same feeling. This is the feeling of, hey, it's the Clippers. And you hate to say that, but – it's the Clippers. And until they prove us wrong, it's kind of like what we said about the Utah Jazz. As good as they can be, as much money as they want to spend, as much as they want to say they're ready to take on the Lakers for the supremacy of L.A., they're not.
I don't think so. It's always going to be Lakers. The Lakers is always going to be the team for L.A. in terms of basketball. For them to get over the hump and take away the Lakers from L.A., it's going to take a lot of championship wins. And I just don't see it happening.
I got bad news for you, Nick.
What?
So I found out who they traded Dylan Brooks for.
Oh, like who were that future second round was?
Yeah.
Who was?
Joey Dorsey.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work out. Probably didn't care.
Did not work out. Now, if you wanted a guy that thought he should be a porn star after his playing days, then you got Joey Dorsey. If you wanted a guy that actually looked like the Soul Glow, but played basketball like he was a star. You got Dylan Brooks. Memphis wins that trade. All right. We'll continue to roll on. If you want to talk NBA playoffs or otherwise, bring it to us. Nick and I are open. 713-780-3776. Open for business till 4 p.m. It's the Press Box ESPN.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, a lot of teams still going through their off-season workouts and their OTAs. If you listen to my good friend Mike Greenberg,
I forgot
this
about
morning,
that.
His second to lead story was that this could be a monumental day in the history of the Green Bay Packers franchise.
Could be or is a monumental day.
He said, stay tuned for why. And then it turns out that it's voluntary. Let me say that again. Voluntary OTAs. But if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show, there could be a message sent. You know what? The Players Association has told almost every player in the league, you don't have to, and we're probably encouraging you not to. So,
yeah,
it's not that serious. Deshaun Watson obviously wasn't there for the Texans. The big news of the day in the NFL, regardless of all that, is Julio Jones, on his future with the Falcons, has basically said, I'm out of there. He literally said, I'm out of there. And so that has really stirred the pot, as he did an interview on FS1 and just with Shannon Sharp on Undisputed, and just basically said, it's basically right there for you, the taking. I want out. The Falcons have already said they're listening. Now it's just interesting to see who's going to step up and get him. He said right now, I want to win. Well, that basically tells you what he thinks of Atlanta, Matt Ryan, and even though that they continue to draft weapons, that he's not too impressed. And he doesn't think the Falcons are going anywhere. The big thing is that his salary is massive. Base salary of $15.3 million, fully guaranteed for this season. That's scheduled to cost the Falcons $23 million against the cap in 2021 and has cap hits of $19.2 million in 22 and 23. So you better be ready to do some cap adjusting if you want Julio Jones.
Yeah, and I don't know what he's worth considering his health concerns. Do you give up a first rounder or a second rounder for a guy like Julio? I'm not quite sure, but it'll be interesting to see how bad a team would want someone like Julio Jones. And he's made it public, so it's officially one of those things. Down here in Houston, the Texans, as it's reported by Tom Pelissero on his Twitter, star quarterback Deshaun Watson won't attend OTAs and still wants to be traded, per sources. The last update I think we got from Deshaun Watson was him, I guess, working out. There was like a video of him working out. So I don't know if that means progress in terms of the settlement. I still stick with my same take. And the other news is they released quarterback Ryan Finley. Mm-hmm. I think it had something to do with Jeff Driskel.
Yeah, they said that, you know, it was a late round swap of picks, I think like seventh round with Cincinnati to get Finley. But now because Jeff Driskel was available and they got him,
yep,
they no longer found a need for Finley, so they cut him loose. Again, not a big deal. But if you talk to Adam Schefter and Mike Greenberg, this could be a monumental day in the history.
Oh, Schefter in on it too.
I'm
huh?
just saying that's what they do. Not that they did it on this one like they do on others, but you never know.
You do never know. You do never know. But yeah, look, like I said, 6 to 8 game suspension is my prediction. I say an NFL suspension plus a settlement equals increased value. You can actually get a lot for Deshaun Watson. That is my belief. Unless the Texans are just absolutely sold on the fact that they just have to get rid of him without a headache and they want to do that, I could see the Texans doing something like that. At the end of the day, he still hasn't played a single down on that new contract. And I think there's a lot of people that want him to want him on their roster. I don't see why his value goes down significantly. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the trade, I don't think anything gets resolved until we get closer to some resolution, regardless of what that resolution is. I think you're right. If this isn't a landslide of wins that go all the way through the court process, I think it'll be much like I've said all along, the Zeke Elliott deal, where it wasn't a legal issue. It was a civil issue. He was never convicted, but at the same time, it's a bad look for him, the team, and also the league. So he got six games. So that, I think you're spot on from 6 to 8. I think that's what we're looking at. As long as it goes that route, it's going to cost him a lot more financially. But then you're in a position where teams know this is what we're dealing with. Now we're ready to start business again on the trade scenarios.
Yeah.
But people are expecting and holding their breath that because of all this, he'll change his mind and want to be a Texan again.
Hell no. He doesn't want to show his face there.
Nah.
He doesn't. He does not want to show his face at NRG Stadium. That would be dumb. And look, the other thing is, in the event that he goes to a team that perhaps doesn't necessarily need to win, and I'm not sure that that's going to happen, even if he gets a full-year suspension, if you're the team on the receiving end and you actually get Deshaun Watson, do you care? Do you care? You don't have to pay the $45 million most probably if it's an NFL suspension that's a full year. And then you get him next year. You know what I'm saying? Keep him healthy. Make sure he's working out. Make sure he's not seeing too many massage therapists. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And move on from it. Like, is it the end of the world if he doesn't play next year?
And as we said,
not if you're the team getting him.
The bonus for the Texans is, even though you're not going to get a trade with a team where you know where the draft picks are going to be, at least the cap hit is massively reduced from the 20-plus million it was going to take this year pre-draft to post June 1, a $5 million hit, much easier to absorb if you're the Texans. Now it's just how much can you get in return, and can you use that as leverage going, since we don't know where you're going to pick and you're probably going to be better because you get Deshaun, what are we getting from you? How many first-round picks? How many players that are of value, that are young, that can play? And then we go from there. Then we'd be closer to resolution all the way across the board. I do think that the more time that expires, Nick, in all of this, where we don't hear anything from Rusty or Busby or anybody else, is a good sign. To me, that tells me, just by just kind of a hunch feeling, that the undercurrent is that there's a lot of talks going on to try and settle this thing.
Oh, sure, sure. I'll tell you one thing that, well, a reason I would look for to poop all over Deshaun is after the settlement is all done, and let's say the settlement is done before the trade, which I assume that's the case, that he's actually like still picky about which teams he want to go. If he's that guy, I will absolutely kill him on the air. I will absolutely destroy him. If you're still being picky about which teams you want to, and he still may have that leverage, and I get it, but if you're still being picky about where you want to be traded to after the settlement, it's just going to be a massive turnoff to this fan base. No one's going to want, like, it's gotten to the point where you went from completely beloved to a hated dude.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be as bad as James Harden, which is kind of crazy to me, but it could be.
It's funny how it happens, though, right? You think about the two biggest stars in the NBA today. LeBron James was everybody's favorite for a long, and then he took his talents to South Beach, and he became hated. Kevin Durant was everybody's favorite underdog, was just waiting for the day to get over the hump, but everybody loved Kevin Durant on the Thunder, and the minute that he joined the Warriors, he became hated.
Yeah.
And it's just, you take different paths to get there, but as good as you are at being on top of the world, in just one small turn of events or a decision you make, or in the case of Deshaun's, multiple decisions you make, it can change everything in the blink of an eye, and you go from this guy that was the city of Houston. Think about it. It was him. It was Harden. It was JJ. It was Altuve, maybe. And maybe you could go to a lesser extent, the Bregmans or the Springers type thing. But it was Houston when you talk about the most significant, impactful individuals on sports teams. It was JJ and Deshaun and James Harden. And all of a sudden, that's all not only by the wayside, it changed his entire reputation probably for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think because it's not criminal, he'll always have that black eye on his, I guess, intangible resume. But I think people will forget after a couple years. They'll go right past.
I think if he wins, maybe.
Like, we're still bringing up Ben Roethlisberger, but it was a much smaller level.
But look, whether you – it's like Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman, if he ever bounces back – or whenever he bounced back or resurfaced, or people thought, you know what, I still was a big fan of Pee Wee's Big Top and all these other things. Inevitably, it was still going to talk about – and he still got caught greasing his thing in a movie, in a porn movie theater.
Yep.
Well, I don't think no matter where he goes and how well he plays, Deshaun's ever escaping the massage.
Yeah, I think the massage thing, look, at the very minimum, he's going to be picked on about it for probably the remainder of his career. My whole thing is, it's okay to be picked on about something your whole career. It's not okay. And I can see how that gets over. Like, for example, Kwame Brown continually being called the bus for all these years that eventually got to him. But if as long as it gets to the point where it's few and far between, right, where it's not the topic of discussion all the time, then it's easier to handle, particularly if you move to a completely different market. And in Deshaun's case, he needs to completely get out of Texas. He just needs to go to a team.
And even with a fresh start. It's such a national story.
He'll follow
him
a little bit.
You can't escape it.
Not 100%. But as long as it gets to a point where it's few and far between, at least it'll be easier for him to handle than as opposed to every day he goes up on Twitter, he goes up on Instagram, and he sees, hey, how did the massages feel? Or something like that. It's even going to happen in the new market. Like in the event that he gets to a new team.
His locker room's going to say, Deshaun, you need a towel.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, that's where it's going to start, and it's going to get a lot more raunchy than that in the locker room. He's not going to get away from it.
No. But the good thing is, if he's still a good quarterback, you know, he's got that power to say, don't mess with the court. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Astros a little bit earlier. A little quick announcement here. The Sugarland Skeeters announced that Jake Odorizzi is pitching at 7:05 p.m. There will only be one game instead of a doubleheader because of the rain.
Okay.
So a little mention there for your Astros. Jake Odorizzi is pitching at 7:05.
Boy, it's definitely the difference between AAA and Single A, too. They did fireworks the other night that were just ridiculous. Like, I mean, the dogs were going nuts, and I'm like, oh, it's the Skeeters. It'll probably last 5 minutes. 15 minutes later, it was still, like, booming all over the sky. I was like, wow, AAA's got a little more cash because they spent something on that fireworks show.
Yeah, because fireworks aren't cheap, are they?
No. No, they're
spending. Every time I've bought them.
Well, but even these shows, when you talk about, like, even when the city starts trying to, when they kibosh a fireworks show, they got to pay up front. It's in the millions of dollars. Yeah, for the like those big shows.
Had no idea.
Yeah. So Skeeter's got a little bit more cash. It's got to be. I'm sure they're hoping the Astros take their time bringing those guys back, because every time Fromber and Odorizzi pitch, it's like, hey, they got a little bit extra. I keep getting emails. Are you aware that Fromber Valdez is going to be on the mound tonight? And because of the affiliation with the Astros, you know what they're giving away? Altuve bobbleheads.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. They did last week. So they're able to capitalize on that, too.
I was looking at my Altuve bobblehead the other day. I still have mine.
Collected. I thought you were going to give it away.
I was, and I did. I gave away like three of them.
Yeah.
I still have one more. I still have plenty left. A couple left.
When no one's looking, do you play with your bobblehead?
Okay.
I'm just asking.
What?
Like, why do... I understand that the card market is going through the roof, but like, bobbleheads are that big of a deal.
I didn't know. Do you want honest truth?
Yeah.
I did not know how big bobbleheads were until I started working here.
Well, that I know why. But here's the other thing. It's the ones they give away, and then the Astros started doing this limited edition. They only did a certain amount of them that they sold for $99.99 in the team shop. And there was a line around the block to make sure they got one of these limited edition bobbleheads. It's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they can be worth something if you're a guy that wants to flip it, but most people want to collect it and keep it.
Well, I know that when I left the Rockets, I had about 100 of them that I would just, every time I got one, the Rockets did one or someone sent them out like a promotional thing, I just put them on my shelf. And at the end, they didn't care if I was leaving or not. They want to know, what are you doing with the bobbleheads? Okay, well.
It's hilarious.
Now I'm giving them all away.
It's the little things in life, people. That's what matters, right?
Yeah.
The little thing.
To certain people, but you know, others, we'll see. All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here's the second half of the show right now on the Press Box, ESPN 97 on a Monday. We're We're a little bit more sportsy. We're wrapping up the weekend. We've talked about the major things, including a major and Phil Mickelson, the oldest to ever win a major at 50, winning the PGA over Brooks Koepka and company, and that being a big story. Astros got swept by the Rangers. OTAs for the Texans, voluntary, started with no Deshaun Watson. Not a shocker. Julio Jones says, I'm out of there, and wants out with the Falcons. And then there's the NBA playoffs. And on top of everything going with the results of the weekend, Nick, I wanted to get your opinion on this. There is a massive uproar with people taking both sides on whether or not LeBron James should have been suspended for violating COVID protocol with the NBA. Now, if you don't know, the backstory is, and we know what happened with Kevin Porter Jr. and Sterling Brown at the booby trap. We know
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams prior to that. We know some of the situations with some of the other players that have gotten suspended because they didn't listen and did what they wanted to do. Well, evidently, last week, LeBron did the same thing. He went to an appearance at an outdoor event in which he swears everybody was temperature checked, everybody was supposed to have the vaccine, but according to NBA rules, you are still not supposed to be out and about with large gatherings of people. They said, and another one that we need to bring up, Nick, is Kyrie Irving. Because remember now, Kyrie Irving threw a birthday party for his dad and his sister. He was there for a couple hours. He got suspended for more than, he got suspended, and he was supposed to, because of protocol, he had to sit out for like a week or two. LeBron right now is in the middle of getting ready to start the playoffs. This could have been a very sticky situation. And the league quickly reacted and said, he won't be suspended, because the difference between him and, say, the Kyrie Irving situation is, or even the booby trap, he was outside, they were inside. He says he was only there for a short period of time. They were there for hours. And they're making excuses, but you know, as good as the play-in tournament was for grabbing ratings and attention and all the things they're talking about that are positives, one big negative would have been a guy chasing championships at the biggest time of the year might have kicked himself right in the jimmy and been suspended, and yet they are allowing him to play.
Well, I was just looking up the Irving situation just to make sure, because I honestly could not remember if it was an actual suspension or whether or not he just sat out. From what I'm reading right now, it just looked like he was fined $50,000. He misses his game checks for two particular games. So I think it was $816,000 that he lost. I don't see a suspension in front of me, but this is just me skimming through the article very quickly only because I could not remember it. Do I think he should be suspended? I'm going to say no. It was outdoor. They do have a really good excuse to justify it, right? They didn't rise to the threat level that would have violated. And look, maybe he is getting away with it because it's LeBron James. But if he genuinely violated, I think he should be suspended.
I mean, rules are rules.
But if we take the rules out of it, then my opinion is no, I don't think he should be suspended.
But you can't, because we don't know how many people were at this event. It was a big publicity thing, so there were other names. I think Drake, I think Michael B. Jordan, I think they were all part of why
he was there. If Drake was there, there was a lot of people there.
Yeah, and Michael B. Jordan was there, because if you remember, they were sitting courtside for like the play-in game.
Yeah, I saw it.
One of the play-in games. So they were definitely in town, and then they were saying this was something they were all backing, and I think it's a tequila company. So if they were all there, inside, outside, you talk about some of those names, an A-lister movie guy, Drake, LeBron, you got to believe whether they were in the actual event or surrounding it, and paparazzi and otherwise, there had to be, whether inside or outside, there had to be a large number of people around it. And if the rules, the NBA is trying to like tiptoe around this, because they haven't come out and said, for as much as we know, people are like pulling back on mask rules. If you've had both shots, you've been vaccinated, whatever. The NBA hasn't said, okay, we're going to change our stance on
letting you do what you want outside the games. Yeah. No, they haven't said that. They haven't said that. And even if it was outdoors, Joel, it's Drake. So at some point, they probably had to confine or close off that outdoor situation. It wasn't a situation, oh, here's a park where Drake is. Well, let me just walk up. There's probably something that was enclosed, which keeps people in a confined area, which makes it more likely that they're walking right next to each other. So I don't know. I don't think they necessarily should, unless he, there's something in the rules that said he absolutely violated. It sounds like he did, but they're saying the threat level wasn't there. So I don't know if there was a capacity. Maybe they did max out the number of people that could attend this event. We don't know it. That could be a thing. Maybe there really was socially distance going on. Maybe LeBron James, I mean, he has to be smart enough to know at least that if he's caught seen within 6 feet of anybody, that it's going to be bad news for him.
That's my thing. Why aren't you smart enough to go, hey, remember, you know how he said for years, the minute the playoffs start, I turned my phone off, no more social media, no more anything till the playoffs are over? Because he knew the main focus and what his big priority was chasing Jordan and chasing championships. What changes now where you don't go, you know what, babe, I'm getting ready to leave the house. I'm going to get ready to go to this appearance. Wait a minute. If I do this, might get in the way. NBA may or may not hear about it. Chances are, like we said, if Drake and Michael B. Jordan are there, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I should probably lay low. I probably should hold off on this. And you know what? If you're the tequila company, either hold off till after the playoffs when he can attend.
No, the tequila company don't care. They got Drake.
Or just respect it and go, you know what? LeBron's part of this deal. He's not going to be here tonight for obvious reasons. We go forward.
That's a tequila cup. Man, alcohol companies have been thriving so much during the pandemic. They're not thinking about that. And chances are they wrote a pretty big check to someone like LeBron James or Drake. So they want to get every little penny back. I don't know the details in the event, and that's really important. I don't know what the capacity was. Was it 100% capacity? Even if it was 100% capacity, did they only allow a certain number of people in this event? How far were they from each other? I don't know the event, but yeah, there's no way they were going to suspend that dude. Let's be real. That's LeBron James. There's no way.
I just think standard can't be there. And if you're going to, and I get it, hey, you know what? He is the front man for the NBA, and he is the guy everybody's keeping an eye on. But you know what? With that kind of attention comes responsibility. He needs to be more responsible and smart, like you said, and think about this and go, love to be there. I know I'm making money off this product, or I got a chance to, but I probably should sit this one out.
Yeah, no. No, I get it. And look, LeBron's probably getting bombarded. He probably has some sort of assistant, you know, that's next to him all the time, that's got a schedule. By the way, you get an appearance here, an appearance there. And that guy or that, you know, man or woman should be educating them too. I'm like, look, we did get paid for this appearance, but should we take the money for this appearance? This is right in the middle of the playoffs. Is this something that's worth it? You know, people are going to have cameras everywhere. Do you want to really answer these type of questions? I would imagine that discussion happened.
Don't you have to answer your peers too, Nick? I mean, look, the head of the Players Association is Chris Paul. Coincidentally, who's playing against you in a playoff series?
Yeah.
As the head of the Players Association, where every player knows the rules and it's his responsibility to make sure they know what the protocols are by being in charge of the Players Association, part of your job is communication with the players. His peers have to be pissed off.
I don't know. Who's going to be mad at Bron, though?
Let me ask you this. Let's look at it a different way. If Alex Caruso is going to the tequila event and Alex Caruso does the exact same thing, is Alex Caruso suspended?
Probably.
I think so, too.
Probably.
I honestly think so, too. Now, you might hope that Kyle Kuzma was there so he could get suspended, so at least he'd have the same numbers as he had in game one, but he actually had an excuse why he wasn't there and didn't show up. But I think if a lesser player did the same thing LeBron did, I think they'd have been suspended.
Yeah, we know it happens all the time. Lesser players get less treatment. It's just the way it is. It's just the way to, unless you could be, there's, how many times does a bad player get better treatment than the good player? Unless you're Tim Tebow, that's an exception. But other than that, for the most part, bad players don't get as good as treatment as the good players. It's just the way it is.
I just think that it's BS because of the fact that you can't, there are certain ways that you can single out and change the rules for the best players in the game. But in a situation like this, and we talked about it in the past when we didn't have a vaccine yet, and we were talking about what if someone broke the protocol? Like, it's one thing. What if LeBron broke the protocol instead of Daniel House last year in the Lakers series?
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're the NBA. It's one unified ruling, regardless of whether you're the A-list guy or the C-list guy. The rules are the rules.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Again, not shocked that they're doing this. I'm not shocked that the NBA didn't suspend the biggest star in the league. And I'm not shocked that he gets preferential treatment. So, I mean, if it was something that he was doing time in and time out, for the most part, LeBron is not necessarily known to go out clubbing and going to the strip club. So, I mean, there's a lot of things I feel absolutely obligated to hate on LeBron James about. This is not, I mean, I'll hate on him a little bit for breaking the protocol in the event that he really was just going out spreading stuff. But for the most part, I don't know that. And so I'm not going to hate on it. Alex Caruso, I mean, that would actually hurt the team. Let's say he does get suspended, but that would hurt the Lakers pretty bad.
The moral of the story, Nick, is that who knew that there are booby traps and the booby trap, and as much as you thought they might be the same, they can be treated differently depending on who's trapped. Punishments will vary. All right, we're going to continue to roll. Hour number two of the three-hour program continues. Lots more to get to. It always includes you. So if you got something you want to throw on the table and get into the discussion, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. It's the Press Box with Nick and Joel up until 4 on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nick, we were on the LeBron kick, and what you and I have been saying all along is the fact that you want to talk about a volatile subject. Just bring up LeBron at any time.
Man. I know.
And it just, there's both sides, but there is
a lot.
Dick Willie, a lot of vitriol going all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And while during the break, Dick Willie is telling me that he thinks, his opinion, that the ratings will actually go up in the event that LeBron is not playing. And I just don't see that. I know there's a massive hatred for LeBron James, and I completely recognize that. You know what I mean? Don't see the ratings go up in the absence of LeBron James. What say you? I mean, I just don't see it. I mean,
think about it. There's a reason why he makes as much money as he makes from Nike, from all the different companies he endorses. And there's a reason why the NBA does what they do when it deals with him as opposed to any other player in the league. Because his name, his likeness, him being on the court sells. Everyone wants to see it. The haters want to see him lose, but they're watching. The lovers want to see him win, and they're watching. And if he's not playing, a good portion of those people aren't watching.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where it is.
It's just hard. I mean, if you hate that, you have to be a super hated dude to me, if you like basketball enough, I can see someone saying I'm a fan of basketball. I don't necessarily watch during the regular season too much. I like to watch during Christmas. We've heard all these things before. But I just don't see one person turning you off to the point where you're just going to eliminate and just not watch basketball altogether. I mean, LeBron James, how many games were on yesterday?
Let me ask you a question.
8 games? 9 games?
No, there's...
just yesterday, so there's 4 games?
Yeah, I think it's 8-8. I think you might be right. All day and all night.
So you didn't watch the entirety of the NBA slate because of one player. Games he's not even a part of.
Well, let me ask you a question, Nick. What do you think? Take LeBron in the conference finals or the... Conference, we'll just go conference finals. LeBron in the conference finals against one of the lower seeds or the Jazz and the Suns. LeBron's ratings are going to be significantly higher, even if they're playing the Blazers or the Grizzlies, than any matchup of any diehard basketball fan that wants to see the one seed play the two seed and see the Jazz play the Suns. I'm not being biased here on either side. I'm not picking a side.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I can actually see L.A. fans who have money and they get word that LeBron James is not playing during one of the regular seasons. And they pass up on going to the game and going to Staples Center despite having tickets that they paid a lot of money for just because they know LeBron James isn't playing. I know people in L.A. that have done that before. So, like, it's like they live and die by LeBron. I really believe that. Now, in terms of TV ratings, that's completely different. And whether they attend or watch it is different. But
now, on that same front, in terms of we know what the play-in tournament faced this year in terms of scrutiny. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Do you like it? Is it just a money grab? Is it effective? Is it fair? Now, Adam Silver is revisiting a mid-season tournament in much like a soccer format, in which they'd have a mid-season tournament, 8 teams, single elimination, winning team players would each get $1 million. And I know that there has been talk that they could about possibly securing a playoff spot. I don't need that. I don't need that much gimmicky stuff in a sport that's been doing just fine. Now, maybe, like Charlie would tell you, baseball is the highest revenue-driving sport, and they're making all this money hand over fist. Well, most of the big three, all three of the big three are doing just fine.
Yeah.
I think from the NBA perspective, it's global love and support as much as Daryl and the whole Chinese-Asian market kind of pulled back in the last couple of years, and then the pandemic. I still think the NBA is very, very popular. They're going to reduce the regular season, the plan is, from 82 games to 78 games, but then have 8-team single elimination tournament, European soccer model type event, winning teams each get $1 million. They're also contemplating whether it has playoff spots. I don't need all that.
I mean, the gimmicky thing, I'm okay. I just don't like the playoff. Like, I don't have all the details in front of me. I'm just learning about this from what you mentioned. Yeah. But the playoff part is what I don't like. Why should a midseason tournament determine where you sit in terms of seeding? I completely disagree with that. Teams can absolutely evolve from the middle portion of the season to the late portion of the season, even if it is reduced to a 72 or a 78 game season. So I don't understand why they would do something like that. And also, single game elimination is just something I'm not a big fan of in basketball. Now, I know we had the play-in tournament, but I think that's different. Shortened season, pandemic, completely different situation. And for the most part, I think they got it right in terms of the teams making it to the playoffs. But getting a midseason tournament to the point where it helps you determine whether or not you're going to get a playoff spot and there's still games remaining in the regular season, I'm not for. And I'm just not a fan of single game elimination in basketball. I'm just not.
So here's the first bit of good news. No matter what happens, it can't happen next year. It's too late to have it implemented for the 2021-22 season. Good. Because you know what? Maybe cooler heads will prevail. And they'll start really thinking about this, weighing it. Because how many times have we seen teams that have gotten off to a hot start that have been really good in the first half of the season? They might win the tournament. But guess what? By the end of the season, they're a totally different ball club.
Yeah.
They've been exposed for their shortcomings. They're not the same team.
That's my point. I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It works for soccer.
And what's the deal with the reward, $1 million to each team? Like, how much money is that going to put in every man on that roster? Like, how much money in that their pocket are they going to get?
$15 million, because there's 15 players on the roster that would be on the active roster.
Oh, each player, not each
player
team.
Would get a mil.
Oh, I thought you said each team. No, I'm like, why is
each
that
a player would get a mil?
Well, that's different. That's a little bit different. I mean,
here's
it's still. I mean, for some of those players, that's a lot of money. For some other players, that's not that much.
So here's the other kicker too. When you start thinking about all of this. So you say, well, it's only four games less for each team. But assuming it's 2-2 and you lose two home games, two road games, the big market teams with state-of-the-art buildings are going, is it worth it to us that we lose two gate revenues on two games that bring us this many millions of dollars as opposed to playing it, whether it's neutral sites or however they're going to concoct this thing? And also having, do the players need more money, revenue generating for them to where they have these massive contracts, but they need something else to motivate them to win an extra mil?
Or motivate them to play that, because maybe players don't want to do this little midseason playing game.
Well,
you're asking them to do something else that's outside their contract, that's normally outside their contract. Because let's say this takes in effect. Well, I'm a player that signed a deal a year or 2 years before this takes into effect, and my contract says I get X amount of dollars for the next 5 years. And then all of a sudden you enforce this deal. How does that impact my, do I get more money? I didn't ask. I signed my contract. My contract says I play 82 games a year during the regular season. And in the event that I go to the postseason, I get this much. That's what my contract says. So, I mean, I don't understand how that works.
And now I'm reading some of these articles and I know that it's been floated out there, playoffs or no playoffs, but they're also saying, because it would only be eight teams participating, would all of the major stars be on board with it? The teams themselves are going to be saying, look, you're willing to give up $15 million for players that win the tournament, but each team is going to lose between $2.5 million and $4 million per home game that they don't get to play now. So owners are going to be ticked off. Why would we support this when we're going to lose potentially up to $8 million?
They would have to make it right. If I'm an owner, I'm like, all right, so how am I? This is, look, I'm showing you reports from the last 3 years. Every time we play these games in this particular part of the season in which where you want me to play the mid-game tournament, this is how much revenue I generated. How are you going to replace that? And I would imagine every owner does that. You know what I mean? How are you going to replace that? Now, if there's a situation where they can somehow at least get some of it or most of it back, I can see the owners being cool. At the end of the day, it's money. No, and Tillman Fertitta is not in a situation right now where he wants to lose any type. He's already losing enough money as it is with the team being terrible.
Yeah.
The last thing he needs is getting more money out of his bank account because of something like this.
But you're talking about this. Why do we need this? The other thing that was the big story is the NBA Africa, which is the Basketball Africa League, which is going on right now with investors that include two Nigerian businessmen and former NBA greats, Dikembe Mutombo and Grant Hill. Adam Silver announced the formation of a new business investment with NBA Africa so that they can invest with other former players, get involved in something like the BAL, and also generate more money. And Silver said NBA Africa's enterprise value, a measure of a company's total value, is already nearly $1 billion. So we're talking about what happened with Daryl Morey's tweets and what it did with the relationship between Asia and the NBA. But we're talking about a billion-dollar valued company with the NBA in Africa. Why do we need this mid-season thing for anybody?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. But obviously, they're still making money if they're doing this.
Clearly. That's what I'm saying. That's my major takeaway.
They're still making,
you're still making money hand over fist.
Even if you're
printing,
the NBA.
Yeah. Why do you need a play-in tournament? And do you really think that, like, people are going to go, God, I got to stop what I'm doing? Let's think about this, Nick. So mid-season would be about instead of the All-Star break. But if you go January, February, you're in the heat of NFL playoffs. Do you really think that your little cute little tournament is going to draw a lot and significant eyeballs when the NFL's still going on? When we're getting ready for baseball, but we got all these other things.
But that's
going
probably
on.
A part of their motivation. What can we do to get more eyeballs during the middle of the season? Because no one cares.
Maybe I can tell you what you can do. Don't compete with the NFL because that is the cash cow. So don't overthink this. Is what I'm saying. All right, we got more to get to. 2 hours through the show already, with 60 minutes still to go. That means an hour for you to get in here, be a part of the program, talk with us. If there's something you want to talk about, bring it up. Otherwise, get in on the discussions we create for you. It's the Press Box at ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.